everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 440. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and I'm glad to be back with you. In fact, despite Murphy and his law trying his best to keep us all away, all three of us are back here. Eric, the executive Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek McLaughlin. Hey, guys, welcome back.
Hey, Mark, what's happening? You know, I got to drive through your state, and I got to say, I feel for you and the Atlanta traffic, man. Now, I haven't had the update since your move, if your commute has improved or gotten longer with the new digs.
I knocked about 5 minutes off of a 90-minute trip. So
you're a block and a half closer than you used to be.
About 7 miles. Okay. I moved from one side of Highway 92 to the other side of Highway 92. That's about it.
And I thought of you, man. I'm driving past like Smyrna and all these places you've talked about on the show. And I'm just like, oh, man, I wish it wasn't 2 a.m. And I wish I didn't have a 22-hour drive nonstop going on right now. I may have stopped and said hi, but it was just too much. I'll never drive that far again, I don't think. But Georgia just lasted so forever and ever and ever. I could never get out of there. Crazy.
I've got to say, the best thing ever would have been if you would have taken a video of you at 2 a.m. going up to Mark's door and then hopping in your car and pulling off.
That would have been good. Luckily, you know, my luck, I would have went to his old house, got arrested, and never made it to Daytona Beach then.
So you came in from, I'm guessing, from the Tennessee side of things,
drove through
and went all the way down to like the Savannah end of things.
Yeah.
So that's like the longest part. You hit literally the longest trajectory you could have.
It absolutely felt like it. Because then we got
it's
like
about 8 hours, right?
Jacksonville, Florida, I think, is where we end up getting out into Florida at.
How many hours? Georgia is shaped roughly like a hand. You know, it's like the thumb, and then it trails off there on the finger. It's roughly the shape of it. So you came in at about the index finger and went down at about the heel of the palm.
It felt like Illinois all over again.
Tennessee is terrible going east to west because of the way it's corner to corner. And if you hit it that way, it's like, am I ever going to leave Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee and Kentucky were like a flash.
Right, because you came through the thin parts. Yeah. Of course, where I used to live in Texas, you could walk out my front door, get on Highway 11, turn right, and drive for 14 hours and still be on Highway 11, still be in Texas.
Oh, wow. That's big. It was a good
so trip. Did you get sunburned or anything fun like that that you're on your vacation?
No, I really enjoyed it. The traveling was good. We didn't like blow any tires, no incidents. We did end up with some ants in our van at one point because I think it parked too close to somebody's yard. But no, it was great. Good, no bugs down there at Daytona Beach. I was surprised by that. The weather was perfect. Never rained the time we were there. It was really good.
I'm not a big beach guy. I've been to several of them on both coasts, and Daytona is probably my favorite.
Really? I mean, that's the only one I've ever been to, and that's the first time I've showed my kids and my wife the ocean. So, you know, it was good. We had to do that because my daughter's graduating next year, and she won't want to go to anywhere with me soon.
I mean, I just like the fact that you can go, like you were talking about on the mini PC show, you can drive right out onto the beach.
Yeah,
there aren't many places you can do that, and you know, when you got three kids with you and you're schlepping everything you own, that's a big plus right there that you can back the old minivan right out to the tide line.
I to be honest, I never drove on the beach ever. Our hotel was right there. I mean, it was literally 35 steps from the door of the hotel as you're walking past the pool. Go down a couple more steps and there's the beach.
Yeah, I need to know some of your friends.
Yeah.
This is the guy who owns this place was a computer repair. I mean, I've been friends with his kids and stuff, but he was one of my customers for a long time.
That's great. And Dor, we weren't able to be here last week because you like to stay married, right? You want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, I completely forgot. The very next day was her birthday, and I'm not one to give hints or tips or anything out. And she asked me, do you have anything planned for tomorrow? And I just said, for what?
What's tomorrow?
So she really didn't like that answer. But of course I had stuff planned, at least kind of. So what I did was we just went out to a hibachi, Japanese hibachi place, because we are seafood fanatics. and they have really good scallop shrimp, yada, yada, yada. So we went and did that, and then we went and mistakenly saw the new Jason Bourne movie.
No, not a fan?
I'm a fan of, okay, I like him as an actor. I think he's a really good actor. I like the action in it. I thought it was pretty good action. But everything technology-wise just made me throw up in my mouth. Wow. I mean, it was everything about the technology was horrible. Not even inaccurate, but horrible. But, you know.
Well, you know, that's not a tech movie. You have to kind of have to pretend, right?
Yeah, well, in hindsight, I think we should have saw Star Trek Beyond, because at least that technology, I can say, well, you know, how can I even rationalize it?
Understood.
Yeah, but it was good. The kids went over their grandmother's house, stayed there overnight, picked them up the next day, you know.
So the Hibachi Grill, I think I've been to one like that. Basically, like, the chef is in there, and he's got, like, a bar all the way around his grill, mm-hmm. and he's serving the people as they sit around the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And the chef... And the whole time he was hitting on two or three older women that were there. And that was actually pretty funny.
The one I went to, the chef's name was Tie My Shoe.
Nice.
Yeah, so there was no show last week, and I take complete responsibility for it.
Did he put on a show for you guys, though? Like, the chef like does crazy stuff?
Well, he did it for everybody, you know. Okay. He was a good guy. Cool.
I don't know if I had seafood at the one I was at, though. I remember a lot of eggs and chicken, mostly.
There is a good amount of chicken, but see, we live in Maryland, which means it's part of our state constitution that we have to eat so much seafood every week. You know, it just happens that way.
You guys have backyard chickens in your town?
I don't, maybe, I don't know.
Big deal around here now. Everyone's backyard chickens, so they can harvest their own eggs and they don't buy them at the store.
If we do have that, it's nowhere around here because I'm pretty sure it's against some sort of ordinance.
Do you have any apps?
Maybe we should talk about some apps or some hardware or something. Well, I was just going to see how far that would go.
Yeah, that's far we need to go with that. Oh, okay, all right. I got an app that has to do with that conversation. I'm going to bring that there real quick.
Okay,
so please.
I'm in Daytona Beach, and we go visit a marine aquarium museum, I guess, kind of thing. And I was talking to the guy. I really couldn't figure out the tides. You know, that's a new concept for me. I mean, I'd go online, and it didn't really seem like there was a rhyme or a reason to it. I mean, it's not like the same time every night. The moon didn't seem to change that much that I could tell. But so he said, if I have a smartphone, I should install an app called Tides Near Me. And then it uses the GPS, and wherever you're at, it'll tell you when the tides are going to be. It also tells you the sunset, sunrise, and that stuff, and it's all free. And I'll tell you what, it worked really well. It's Tides Near Me Free. I should put this in the chat. And it's by Randy Meech, M-E-E-C-H. And after I got this app, I didn't, you know, look for it in the news, because, you know, they do have the tide report in the news and stuff. And the last day we were there, it was really crazy. I mean, people weren't surfing there until the last day we were there. There was some huge waves happening. The day we got there, they had a almost unheard of earthquake at Daytona Beach. That was we brought it with us, man. Shake the ground up a little bit.
Wow, when the Clampets come to town, they mean business.
Well, that was a useful app while I was out there.
Okay, well my question is did he attempt to explain to you why the tides happen or anything? Or he just said, you know, this app will help you.
He probably saw the blank stare in my face. I don't even remember what we were. Oh, we were talking about finding shells along the beach and where to go for that. And he's like, oh, he probably didn't need to bore me with the whole how tides work.
Right. So, and
like, yeah, get this app.
Right. And Mark, I'm pretty sure I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure this is episode 441.
That's all right.
I think I.
People like to yell at me for being wrong, so just give them some fuel for that.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so, I mean, so all this app does is you basically load it, then via GPS it tells you when to expect high tide or low tide.
Yep, and like I said, the other little things that, like sunsets and sunrises, that would be pertinent to a beachcomber.
Hmm, okay, yeah, see, I don't fish, I don't surf, I don't, metal detector the beach looking for earrings or anything. So.
Yeah, there was a lot of those. I was surprised. A lot of metal detector guys. I found a penny. I found some pirate booty out on the beach. It had sand stuck to it really hard, so it's been out there for a little while. So it's there, man. You need to go find it.
Yeah, if you really need that penny, determination will get it for you.
And, you know, a $6,000 metal detector will help you find that penny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got so much sand on it, I couldn't. I'll never know what year it is. I just know it's copper. It's the same size as a penny.
Well, if it's real copper, then I believe that's an older penny. Because I'm pretty sure the newer pennies are zinc.
Yeah, it's at least 1983 or older if it's real copper.
All right, Dor, save us. Bring us another app.
Okay, what I'm going to bring is actually two apps, and that's because they're both on sale right now. And it is Oddworld Munch's Odyssey is the first one. And honestly, I'll say this. You should know what this one is. It was an old classic.
Xbox.
Was it Xbox?
Original Xbox. Yep.
Okay. It was original Xbox game. Where the big thing about it is it's just weird. The stuff in the game that happens is weird, but one of the things that you're trying to do is basically the anti-Pokemon gaming mechanic, which is you're trying to break out of slavery, where Pokemon's all about slavery. Just saying. and right now, Oddworld Munch's Odyssey is only 99 cents. Normally, I want to say it's $5. So it's literally like 80% off right now. It is by a top developer. Only 1,300 reviews, and my guess is because it was $5. While my Google Chrome goes all snap. But yeah, 4.6 is the average review. Between 10,000 and 50,000 installs has been updated since 2015. But I'll tell you this, it runs perfectly fine. On a super small screen, it might be a little bit difficult to control. And that's the first game. The second one is basically its sister game called Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, which is basically like the next game in the series, if you will. So it's basically just more of the same, just looks a little bit different. And again, 99 cents on sale. Marked E for everyone, 10 and up. For 99 cents, I'll say this. You easily get 99 cents worth of fun out of it. My son, just from the minute, he just is Mr. Literal. Every minute and a half, 2 minutes, I just heard him mumble under his breath, "Man, this game's weird. Mm-hmm. Man, this game's odd, Dad."
And just to make sure that the internet pedants don't get you, Eric, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, the first in this series, was released in 1997 on the PlayStation console, also on DOS and Windows.
Okay. I know I had it on the original Xbox.
Yes, but Munch's Xbox Odyssey. Sucks.
Yeah, so Abe's Odyssey was the first in the series.
Oh, I never did it. No, this is Munch's Odyssey. I never played Abe's Odyssey. Munch's Odyssey was on the Xbox originally. I remember like character lines from that. Like, "There's my buddy." You say that a lot, and it was I played a lot of. That was a game I actually played a lot of. That was my first console I had owned as an adult. Was the original Xbox, and that was like the game I played on it. It's cool. I'm gonna buy it, Dor.
Gotcha. But yeah, I tell you, this second game, the graphics are definitely stepped up more, and most of the gameplay, at least I see, is first person. There is some time when you have third person view, but a lot of the game, at least that I saw, was in first person view, and to be honest, looked decent, looked really decent.
Check that one out. So I have already played Munch's Odyssey.
Is it worth playing again? Is it that good?
It would be nostalgic. I probably have higher memories of it than it actually deserves.
So what is the gameplay? Is it puzzles? Is it, I mean, like you said, this one, Stranger's Wrath, looks sort of first-person shooterish, but what is Oddworld is what? What in general?
Munch's Odyssey, I just remember it being like a town and you had to walk around. That's 15 years ago.
I don't know anything about it. I've never even, I mean, I've heard the name. That's as far as I can go with it, though. So just trying to give some feedback.
Weird little creatures that you had things you had to do. Like, I almost kind of think like maybe you had to go find a key to open up a door to get past this thing and move on to another thing. And you had a little guy that you had to keep with you for different missions and stuff.
So classic Doom walking around a maze.
Not a maze.
Just
a
really intricate
open.
Maze.
It was open.
Well, are you on rails? I mean, can you go anywhere? Or
not like
is it a maze?
I mean, you could go kind of anywhere-ish, like you, not like Grand Theft Auto or something like that.
Yeah. If I had to compare this to the game, a different game, the only other game I know that followed this type of mechanic was Conker's Bad Fur Day. And what Conker's Bad Fur Day was, you would get unlocked into a zone. And the zone was a decent-sized area most of the time, where you could freely go anywhere in that area, and there was basically either bigger puzzles you had to solve or objectives you had to solve that would then unlock the gateway to your next area. And then you'd have to just keep moving forwards.
That's a really good description, Dor. Yeah.
So it sounds just like Doom or Halo or any of those other
Yeah, but games. There really wasn't shooting that I saw in the game, but it was like Doom in the zone area, like 1-1, 1-2, 1-3 world type layout.
Okay, moving on. Let's read, I need to go easy on the emails. We've only got two. So let's Eric, go ahead and bring us another app, and then we'll save the emails.
Speaking of emails, are we giving away a prize yet tonight, or are we waiting for a couple more emails to come in? I have a Google Cardboard still. I don't know if you remember, Mark, I was saying how easy, I was saying how anybody could buy a $2 Google Cardboard and do all this stuff, and Dor kind of called me out and said, well, where are you going to find a $2 Google Cardboard at, Eric? And, you know, I of course went to AMZ Review Trader and got one. But normally, yes, I guess they're probably $10 to $20 for the cardboard. Anyway, so now I actually got two of them, so we're going to give away. The better one of the two away.
So you want me to pick a number between 1 and 2, and that's the person who gets the email?
Yeah, I think we've got more emails than that, though.
I don't think we have any direct entries for the contest. So what I'll say is if you want to be entered in the contest, just send us an email at aaa@podcast.com. It's just the word cardboard in the subject line, and that's enough.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you, too, could get a $2 piece of cardboard.
I'm going to
be like Eric.
I'm going to bring this app, even though it seems old now because it's been out there for a little while, and it's not my kind of app. It's not Mark's kind of app. I don't think it stores either. Anyway, it's Prisma, and it is a photo editing app that's really super easy to make your photos look cool. Basically, it makes them look like they've been painted or drawn by hand, but it's one of the better filters I think I've seen for photo editing.
So it's a single filter, it does one trick.
It's it makes things look like it's drawn by hand, but there's many different ways it could be drawn by hand, like black and white, oil paintings, there's different versions of it.
It's pretty good.
I don't want to say it's a one trick pony, but it can only do one thing, and that is put filters on pictures. It can do different styles of the same trick, but yes, it's a one-trick pony. To me, this is a fascinating app. I was gonna say, it's fascinating in the sense of it's taking the low-level beginner starving artist and just completely putting him out of work.
Now, another fascinating thing about it is it's kind of on its own in this category, which I think is going to be a growing category, but it is one that offloads all the processing from your phone to the cloud and sends it back to
you
processed.
That's why I will never use this application. if that is not the hallmark, the cornerstone, the blazing sign above of a privacy warning, I do not know what is.
So I don't know.
Well, I think, Eric, Dor, I think the whole point of this is to share the pictures when they're done. So you're not terribly interested in privacy of something that you're about to share.
No, because if I'm just sharing it, then somebody has to actively go out and scrape for stuff. These people now just sit idle and do nothing, and it's being given to them. Bill Gates, back in the early 90s, bought the largest collection of pictures ever assembled, and he owns now the largest collection of pictures ever assembled in the history of mankind, at least at that time, because he believed intellectual property of images would be the next big thing. And I think there's some validity to it, because a picture does indeed say 1,000 words.
So what 1,000 words does this picture say to you?
I don't know, because it looks like crap.
Anyway, that is a modified picture. And what it is when I was in Daytona, there was this old Corvette that had a stormtrooper sitting in the driver's seat, and the stormtrooper was holding a hairdryer and pointing it at people like it was a speed gun. And if you paid a guy sitting in a lawn chair a buck, he'd let you take a picture of this monstrosity. And all the money went to the families of fallen cops, so I took them up on it and took a couple pictures of it.
Well, okay, what words does this bring to mind? Drugs, 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 drugs. Because somebody's high, whoever thought of that idea, I'm just saying. I just am a little bit uncomfortable with freely offloading all of my pictures to a third party company that basically I've never heard of. To me, they have no accountability to anything.
Not all, just the ones you want to process. You pick the picture, you crop it, and then you send it up to, and then it comes back processed. I didn't do it to it. That's the only picture actually I used to, but it worked really well. It may not have chewed up my battery as much as if it was doing the processing throughout my own little.
Well, I know, but to me, there is actively no reason to offload this. There is nothing super fancy, high end going on the server, except for they can now compare it to previous pictures they've taken. But unless there's feedback to the do you like the picture or not, then there's no benefit to them.
I disagree with you, Dor. Technically, there's a lot of math that goes into doing this.
And what do you think these are phones in our pocket could do?
They can do it, but they also, you know, we need them to do other things and we need them to do quickly. If you took the time to do this first picture of this girl here, if you took the time to do that, your phone would be tied up for, you know, 4 minutes on that ARM processor.
I extremely doubt 4 minutes. If you're on a low bandwidth connection, it might take you more than 4 minutes to upload and download the picture.
On a high bandwidth connection, it still takes a little while. It's not an instantaneous return of your photo edited. It takes a little while.
What if it's actually the Mechanical Turk?
Yeah, it's 50 different humans.
I'm just saying.
Working.
Well, they email it to a guy who loads it into GIMP and uses the Oilify plugin.
Exactly.
That would actually be fantastic. I was sad to say that.
You might be onto something, Mark.
Well, and I'll say this. They look good. All the pictures I see taken with this and enhanced, whatever. And I hate using the word enhanced, especially after watching the Jason Bourne movie. Because they did that at least once. Oh, see that picture right there? Top corner, enhanced.
The make everything better button.
Yeah. I mean, they do look sharp. They do look, the only word that comes to mind is clever looking. You know what I mean?
Fair. That's Prisma by Prisma Labs.
Okay. We gave that app way more time than it deserved.
Well, I mean, and here's the whole thing. Everyone on these devices have to make a judgment call at every turn. What do you want to share? What do you want to give to other people? And me, I just don't want to give my pictures to some company. Honestly, if this was hosted by Google or Microsoft or Yahoo or a big company like that, I would feel a little bit better because I would know they have a vested interest to continue to have a good name. Where, for all I know, Prisma in 30 days are going to change their name to Guacamole or something.
iOS. To free nude pictures.
Who knows?
All right. Dor, what's your next app?
Okay. Let me tap through here a couple times just to take a peek. This one, I don't want to bring that one. Okay. I'm going to bring this one just to grind somebody's gears out there. There's a very popular website out there to go to if you want to know the status of virtually any MMO in existence. And it is MMOserverstatus.com. To be honest, it's the one that virtually every MMO gamer uses across the planet. And this app is specifically for Pokemon Go. Server status for Pokemon Go. I figured if somebody has to bring this crap once in a while, I'll be that guy
with a real time lock screen notification, so that you don't even have to unlock your phone to see if the Pokemon Go server is up.
And it's just a yes no app. Then yes, it's up. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's like down for everyone or just me, but just for Pokemon Go.
Huh. Well, I mean, without sounding too stupid, what else do you need?
A life?
I would like.
Well, okay. Okay. Like, let me know, reframe like, the question. Let me reframe the question. If you're a Pokemon Go player and it already knows your area, what more do you need to know to enjoy the game? Is the server open?
No, that's all you need for the game. But I would like to, you know, I'd just be geeky enough to think, hey, I wonder how many people are playing on this server right now, and just get like a number, even if they're lying to me, I don't care. Just spit something out. It's the 385,000 people right now on the server.
I love that the first review I see is inaccurate. My friends and I couldn't sign in, but the app claimed the servers were online. A quick chat in an IRC group confirmed it wasn't a localized problem. People around the world were having problems, but like the app claimed the server were online with no problems.
That's not my first,
Mark.
It must just be your friend.
Mark, I will pay you to do a podcast where all you do is just read reviews and put emotion to them.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dude, you're onto something.
I will happily Patreon that.
I was at the grocery store the other day, and two of them met. One was working, one was shopping. And, hey, you still Pokemon Go? And the guy's like, yeah, I'm a level 14. And he's like, yeah. The other guy's like, yeah, I made it to level 3, and I get kind of bored with it. I'm surprised that people are getting... I mean, honestly, I played Ingress enough, right? I wasn't like Tim Bauermeister or nothing, but I played Ingress, and it stuck a bit, but I don't know if the game looks visually so much better than Pokemon or than Ingress. I don't see how people could just get bored with it that quick, but maybe there's nothing to it enough. No backstory. You can only just catch these things so long. It's like, whatever. I'm like, let me go back to my air conditioned basement. It's kind of hot out.
I'll just say it is a misrepresented quote from Yogurt from Spaceballs. and that is, never underestimate the normal person, Eric. They will be infatuated and want to watch Jersey Shore for 10 straight hours, or they might want to play Pokemon Go at 3 in the morning.
Okay, I just wonder what, if Pokemon Go isn't it, what is the app that's going to stick people and going to be that huge app? Because this one had all the media it could possibly have gotten.
What are you talking about? We already have it. It's called Facebook or Snapchat or any of that.
I'm sorry, gaming app. What game is going to... What game is going to be the Halo
for Angry Birds phone? Angry Birds.
Angry Birds had some wings. It lasted quite a while. You're right. No, you're right. That's probably it.
Well, you know, these kind of things only come by every whatever years. You know what I mean? These ain't common to get these kind of groundbreaking things, because you're always going to get popular niches. And to be honest, Pokemon Go reached a good niche. The question is, though, how long? And my guess is we've already seen the high point.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, the amount of work that had to go into this game to make it what it is compared to Angry Birds.
It's already made a ton of money.
I know, but there's a lot to this game, I think. I mean, there seems to be.
I don't know.
Seems like I would be disappointed if I was Niantic and it was already like on its downward spiral.
They're already moving on to the next thing, which is a Hello Kitty variant or something.
Angry Birds version.
Something.
That would be the killer one, yeah. Angry Birds, and then you get Soda Pop. Angry Birds, Soda Pop, Go.
Okay. I thought it was going to be Power Rangers, but what do I know?
All right, so while you guys were talking there, I just went on to GoDaddy.com and registered DramaticReviews.com.
There you go.
So, you know, coming to your podcast feed in the future, Dramatic Reviews.
Oh, you know, Amazon. Too, man. He doesn't have
I know. That's what I'm talking about. The world, it's Amazon, eBay, the world is just ripe for this. Why has nobody else thought of this? This could be the next Scream rant.
Door, you better start firing up your browser and hitting patent office or something.
No. All I do is give to the world. I just expect entertainment in return.
Can I be a guest? I got some voices.
I'm thinking at some point.
Let me use them on the podcast, but I've got some voices, Mark.
There's going to be like characters, right? They'll be, yeah. You know, Fritz the Nazi. We'll read angry reviews. You know, the surfer dude. I'm all over this.
No.
This product says it's petroleum jelly, yet it tastes horrible, man.
You know. All right, man. I got another app, man. Yeah, so this is Rolling Sky by Clean Master Games. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet. It sort of reminds you of Marble Blast, but it is an endless runner marble game where all you have to do is move your finger back and forth at somewhere towards the bottom of your screen to control the marble and not run into stuff and jump when you need to.
Okay, like that. You said this is like what?
Marble Blast.
I've never heard of Marble Blast. That's why I asked you to repeat
Xbox
it again.
Xbox game, whatever. Marble Madness. I don't know.
What is this? What is this Xbox you speak of? Is it some kind of proprietary, closed-sourced trap for the bourgeois middle class or something?
Yes, it's the one I bought and didn't get the other one.
Yeah, this to me is close to I can't remember what it was called on Nintendo. I want to say Marble Madness.
Huh?
is the word. Never
heard of that, but that's fine.
Well, it's only NES, maybe the most popular game console in the history of game consoles, but, you know, let's go there. And also a very popular arcade game, but insanely better graphics, but of course. But also, I like to perspective. Think of it as you're on a wide bowling alley. You're behind the ball, and you're traveling forward, and your goal is to basically avoid everything, hit jumps, hit ramps. Really, really smooth looking.
It is. And it's not easy.
It's an endless runner.
Huh?
I mean, it's Temple Run. It's, you know, any one of a thousand different endless runner games. You jump occasionally, and you go left and right.
Yeah, but you're not swiping right at the last second to turn right. With this one, you're kind of keep your hand on the ball the whole time.
Or do you drag?
You don't know.
Can you tilt?
I don't know if you can. I'm glad you don't, because it seems like all the other Marvel games were tilt, and I'm not into that much. But I like the control of this one.
Eric's not into tilting. What can you say?
But that being said, it's hard. It's a hard game. I never made it past the first level, and I tried a lot.
So Eric's a tiltist. Got it.
He's an anti-tiltite.
Exactly.
So let me read an email. One of our two, and this one was directed directly at me, hence directed directly. Our friend Philip says, "Hi, fellow Android app addicts. I was just listening to episode 440 when you were discussing Android TV boxes. I already have a Nexus player, and I've been considering getting myself an off-brand box from China. I've been doing a little research, and apparently there are two big chip manufacturers that make processors for the Chinese Android boxes, Amlogic and Rockchip. From my reading, Amlogic chips are more reliable and don't suffer from overheating. At the moment, the best chip from Amlogic is the S905. There are several boxes with this chip, but the one I'm considering is the TronSmart Vega S95. There are three variants, 1 gig, 2 gigs RAM, 8 gigs versus 16 gigs of storage, and the most expensive has one SATA port. They also have a gigabit Ethernet and SPDIF audio out, but the big draw card is the community support in terms of flashing ROMs. I'm not sure if the ROMs are simply mods or device firmware with full ASOP builds, but I think that it's a cool option for a man cave machine. Not sure about spousal approval. Comparing this to the NVIDIA Shield, I would say that serious gamers should stick to the Shield. As a TV device, I think it would be great value for the money, approximately $70 at AliExpress. And I would say that on the TV front, the only department that is lacking is Plex server capabilities. That said, the community may be able to get the server on there, as it looks like it's capable. From my reading, they've already have OpenELEC builds for it, and I'm keen to see what the community can achieve. Anyhow, I will probably let you know how it goes in a few months, accounting for shipping, if I get this or another device. Cheers, Phil." So, Phil, both Eric and I have Amlogic S905 devices.
Is that what mine was? I gave mine away at Northwest Linux Fest.
Yours might have been the 820-something, the one before. Mine's a 905. And we can tell you from personal experience, they're fine. It's okay.
Yeah. I think 70 is a bit too much to pay for it.
Yeah, you shouldn't pay more than 40 for it.
Yeah, and I'll say this. To me, there's a scale in Android, and that is if you have 2 gigs of RAM or less, then you better do some heavy optimization in that OS. And you better have really finely tuned drivers, really, really good drivers. And I don't expect any of these Android TV boxes to have really any real development put into them. So if you get 2 gigs of RAM, I don't expect you'll have a great experience. You'll just have a fair experience. But if you find an Android TV box with 3 gigs of RAM for $60, I think you would probably be happier, more bang for the buck.
The one that I have, sorry, Eric, is literally 15 feet away from me, plugged into the bedroom television. It does Netflix, and you can sideload Amazon Prime, but because they didn't, scratch the right backs, you can't get HD on either of those. So it's standard def Amazon. It's a really good Kodi machine for local media. That's where it's at its best. I've got the TiVo app on mine, and you know, if you've got a TiVo device, it's meh, yeah, it's all right. PlayStation View doesn't work on it at all. The Amazon Prime app kind of works sometimes, but it's not a remote interface at all. You've got to pick up a mouse and keyboard to control it, and that's more the app than the thing. So for $40, you know, it's a fine thing, but it's really going to be best for streaming local media off your home network or a directly connected device. If you're looking for a streamer These are just going to be okay at best.
Yeah, I'll say there's been teasings that Android is going to officially support Raspberry Pi any day, and it's been like that now for like 2 months. If they actually do come out with an actual Android for Raspberry Pi 3, I would suspect and expect it would actually be pretty good on that device. For $35, probably competitive, I'll say, to the $40 boxes. But if you spend a little bit more money, you can get an Odroid C2. And if you get a proper USB Wi-Fi supported device, you could probably beat most of these Android TV boxes in pure performance. But then you're going to pay a little bit more and you got to put it together yourself. So I don't think there is any perfect low-cost solution.
I am using the Spidifthe optical out for mine because my input only has a single, the little cheesy $50 DVD / 5.1 surround sound system only has one input, but it's I can do optical. And so it's fine. It gets good 1080p on local media, again, standard def on anything else. Google Play is hit or miss, like the Play Store, the stuff I've bought from there. Some of it works, some of it doesn't, and I understand that's a codec thing. Again, the Chinese manufacturers aren't paying for the licensing, so it's going to be hit or miss there. Eric, I've cut you off twice. No, what were you going to say?
Okay. I wanted to say when he mentioned Kodi, actually, the word might be getting out to the lay public. My wife came up to me out of the blue the other day and says, "Hey, do you know about Fire Stick and Cori?" And modification. I'm like, Corey who? And I'm like, oh, Kodi. And then I just wanted to bring that up. But then I was also wondering, Mark, have you looked any closer at that NVIDIA or the Tegra box?
The Shield? Yeah, that's, I have decided that is going to be where I go when I go there. Because it can do the Plex media server. It can do depending on what you read, NVIDIA says 2 streams. I've watched reviews online of people doing it with up to 5 streams, which is pretty darn impressive. You're still going to have to sideload Amazon Prime, but it does work. You're going to have to sideload PlayStation View. I think there's a native app for Sling TV. So for cord cutting options, I think it is the least bad option. None of them are good. The Roku would be it if they had support for, you know, like for example TiVo, and you know, there's, it's a licensing thing. The hardware is all there, and even the Roku interface is super simple, which is both the good and the bad of it. It makes it super easy for anybody to pick up, but also it limits things a lot. So I will be purchasing an NVIDIA Shield. I haven't decided whether I'm going to wait for the next version, which may or may not be coming out, because the Shield is over a year, almost 2 years old now. I'm right. expecting a new version to come out, or if I'm just going to bite the bullet and do it. But $200 for, you know, a spare room TV box is a little pricey, frankly, and especially when you get a Roku for $89 that does most of it.
I keep wanting to make it out to GameStop, which isn't anywhere close to me, but because I just remember, it's something to stick around GameStop for a year, year and a half, 2 years. They sometimes will do a fire sale on them.
No, that is not happening anytime soon.
Well, and
hear me now.
The price.
Right, exactly. They don't have to drop the price. That's why, because these things still kick other devices' butts. And when the new device comes out, these devices are still going to be $199, because the new device that comes out is going to be $250 or more. I'm positive.
Local GameStop here, they have never sold. Well, the last time I talked to him, it was on the shelf, and I was asking about it, and he's yet to sell one.
Well, they don't have to. They just, if they don't sell them, they just ship theirs to the next town over where they are selling them.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. And to me, the most important thing about that NVIDIA Shield TV isn't that it can run as a Plex server, but it's that it is a officially supported Plex server, which means the Plex team is purposefully coding towards that device, which means it wouldn't shock me at all if you could do 4 1080p streams and not really experience any lag or buffering or anything.
Just about anybody who's interested in Plex already has a Plex server, so I consider that sort of a non-factor. I mean, I've got it running on a Windows machine downstairs. You know, people have got it running on their desktop because it doesn't take much. So I think that's a non-starter for people who are already into the Plex universe. But if you're starting from scratch, that's a good place to go other than storage. Storage is going to be an issue because it's 16 gigs flash RAM storage for the $200 one. The $300 one has a terabyte of storage, but you can get a 3 terabyte drive for $100. So that's not a good trade-off for your money there. But I just think it's the closest thing we have right now to a cord cutter's all-in-one.
Yeah.
And hardware has never been the problem. The Roku has much less advanced hardware, but they have the licensing. So the licensing is issue, and that's why the Amlogic cheap thing from China isn't going to be as good as the hardware would allow it to be, is the licensing.
Yeah, and I've been kind of thinking about getting another one of those cheap China boxes lately, but until the right deal comes across, I'm not gonna spend much for it.
So what you mean is when the right deal comes across on Amazon Review Trader?
Correct.
Okay.
That's where I shop for everything now.
Mm-hmm.
I paid $25 for mine, and I feel that's about right. $40 is the outside edge, but I wouldn't pay $70. No. There's no value in that. It says it's got a SATA port. Yeah, but USB is fast enough for anything you would need to do with it. You're not crunching big data.
Yeah, and you can get right now a USB 3.0 5 terabyte external hard drive on sale for $129. Yeah, that's just silly.
You just buy a couple of those just because.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's back to you, Dor, for our next app of the night.
Okay, apparently tonight is game crazy for Dor. This one is called Dokuro. Dokuro. That's what I'm saying. Dokuro.
Dokuro.
Dokuro. D-O-K-U-R-O by Gung Ho Online Entertainment. E for everyone, 10 and up. Top developer, 99 cents. 16,000 reviews on this game. Did just drop in price. 4.4 average reviews. 1.2.6 is the version number. Between 100 and 500,000 downloads. Only 51 megs. That ain't too bad. I liked this game because it was only 99 bucks. 99 cents, so you know, just 99 cents. I really like the aesthetics of this game. The style of the game is very simple, basically puzzle game. You start, there's a princess or queen, or I believe it's a princess, who won't stop walking. Your goal is to make sure she has a clear, safe path to get to the end of the stage. Simple mechanics, couple buttons, action or sword, jump, left, right, and that's all your buttons. It looks like hand-drawn. I don't want to say charcoal, but maybe like a good
chalk.
Crayon? I don't know.
Chalk looking, maybe?
Sure, I'll say that.
Tan drawn.
Yeah, I just thought this looked really nice. 99 cents, couldn't beat it. I got it. Had a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, at first I thought it was a platformer looking at it, but when you mentioned the way the game actually is with the princess walking, that's a neat idea. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's like most of the big games, there's at least one mission where you have to escort somebody to a safe spot. Well, that's what this whole game is. You're escorting the princess to the safe end of the stage. Mix of puzzle and a little bit of fighting. Nothing super complex. You just have to figure out the right order of doing things and, you know, just get her to the end. I thought it was cool.
Hey, Dor, do you know how this family library is going to work on Google now?
At least...
Just hope you don't have an apps account.
Well, if you do, then I'll say it's your own damn fault. The family plan is just that. Like, for instance, right now I have my wife, my son, a good friend at work, and somebody else on a Google Apps account, where any app I buy... they have to opt into it. I can enable family subscription, which means if I buy it, they can download it too at no cost. You can also give them either carte blanche or only with password access to one payment method as well. Something tells me app developers are going to start to insist on having different prices, one for just normal purchases and one for family plan purchases, but I don't know. It's still in the early days.
Yeah, I haven't added anybody to mine yet. So,
yeah. So Google Apps was originally billed as a great place for families, and I signed up way back when it was grandfathered in. I have 50 free accounts. That's how long ago I signed up. And now they don't call it Google Apps anymore. They call it Google for Work. And so anything like this that's supposed to be family related they don't count. But my app's domain is my family. It's thecockerels.net. It's my wife and my kids. It's the perfect thing for families. I get a single dashboard where I can control everything, except every new feature that comes out either isn't compatible or isn't cross-compatible. It took me 3 years to get Google Plus. Google Plus wasn't worth waiting 3 years for. Let's be honest.
Well, and it seems like there's never a new feature that comes out that's only for Google Apps.
Right.
Like nothing.
So I'm very frustrated about that, because as soon as I heard about it, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Because right now on my kids' tablets, we have an account, is family at thecockerels.net, that we log in all our stuff to. And so we have on all their tablets, there's a second login so that they can go there. And when I buy media, I buy it on that account so that we can share it. And that's the account that we log into with the Roku and all that. But I only started doing that after I learned, you know, the hazards of not doing it that way. So I've got this library of stuff that is only tied to my account that I can't, you know, we can't share and can't use. So I thought, this is just going to be perfect. I'll click a button and invite everybody. Nope, can't do it. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go to my regular Gmail account and I'll set that up and just send invitations. Nope, can't accept an invitation if you're using a Google Apps account. So,
And the main reason I'm not a pro Google Apps person is because I didn't catch the boat early enough.
Yeah, you're just mad. It's sour grapes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, same way. Those people who went out of their way to take the time and figure that out and work at it, the world's not fair.
Well, and I'll say this. There is a hierarchical thing going on. So hypothetically, you can make Mark the parent, the manager of a family account. He can invite me. I can then be a manager of a family account with that same account and invite Eric. Eric can then be the manager of a family account, and he can invite somebody else. But the app will not jump hierarchy, or the purchase will not jump down hierarchy. But you can be both the recipient and the manager of your own family plan or family account thing.
Yeah, the thing I worry about is just having a credit card linked, because it's not just for purchasing, but it's also in-app purchases.
Yeah.
So once I enable my kids access to that, and I didn't get to test it because Google Apps, but the way I, from reading it, what I understand is once you enable it for purchases, it's enabled automatically. You'll get an email after the fact, but there's no controls at all. It's just, here's the credit card, go crazy with it.
And you got a half an hour to call them up and tell them, turn it back off, undo that now.
And they have to know, Google has to know, that's not a desirable feature.
Right.
Because I want to be able to say, no purchases at all can that person make, period. Or what would be great is no options at all, only purchases under X amount, disable in-app purchases, or only allow, you know what I mean, some kind of scope to it, instead of just, here's the keys of the kingdom, don't put me into debt, you know?
Yeah, so the only safe way to do that right now is get a Visa prepaid MasterCard, a Visa prepaid credit card, put $20 on it, and when that runs out, reload it with another $20. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to keep your kids from unintentionally bleeding you dry. I mean, both my oldest and my middle daughter, at separate times in their lives, cost me over $50. The oldest one cost me nearly $200.
Wow.
That was back before Apple and Google both tightened the rules. It was at my iPad. She was playing this little zoo game, and it was like, you know, get 50 gems to make this egg hatch faster. Okay. And every time she did that, a gem was a buck. It was $50. And I wasn't mad at her. She didn't know. But I was sure mad at Apple for making it so easy.
Yeah.
And I was part of that class action lawsuit. I got some of my own money back. But so those rules are tightened down now. Now they at least have to do a password. But if you want to give them the ability to buy, you know, their teeny bopper movie, whatever, there's no control. It's all or nothing. There's no ratings. There's none of that sort of stuff. It's just, here you go. Here's a credit card. Go have fun.
Seems sloppy.
And Google, they're a multi-billion dollar company comprised of some of the smartest people in the world, and they half-ass everything they do.
So I want to share another Google thing with you guys. And this is the Android and Nougat Easter egg. I don't know if you guys,
I read about that. Tap here, swipe here, double tap. Some guy with way too much time on his hand came up with that.
Yeah, so I went through all the, this is something while I did while I was in Daytona, and now I've got a collection of cats that, it's, I can't remember what the name of this crazy game is, but basically in my, notification pull down menu or whatever that is, the menu. I've got a dish and I can put fish on there. I can put bits of cat food, chicken, treats, and then I'll just catch cats. And I've caught, I don't know, probably 15 cats maybe. I'm hoping I can trade those in for something later. It's a really super simple game that it's like, oh, a cat has showed up or something like that. And then you add it to your collection of cats. You can rename them and share them with your friends. It's kind of weird.
You say it's a super simple game, Eric, but it's not. Oh. What I think this is, I don't know if you guys remember, Facebook at one point in time purposefully coded their mobile application to crash just to see how many users would immediately relaunch it again. Basically testing how far people will go. And that's what I take this as. It's not even a game. It's a string of activities where at the end you get a digital prize. And they're measuring, I think, how far people will go. How many times will people do stuff? How dedicated, how rancid is their OCD kind of thing?
How fast after they see that notification that they got a new cat will they look to see what colors it is and immediately refill the dish to catch another one?
I guess.
So the cats just hang around in your notification tray?
No, I'm
not getting this at all.
The only thing that's in my notification tray is a dish, and then it's a dish with stuff in it if I have put something in it. And then every now and then I'll just get a notification that says, hey, a cat has shown up. You click on it, and then it shows you a picture of the cat, and you can rename it at that point. And then after that, it'll show all the cats that you've collected and their number. It's like cat number. I had a screenshot saved with all my cats, and I can share that with you guys. Because I'm really proud of some of these cats. They're great cats.
And you did nothing but tap a food bowl, and they just showed up?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a sequence to, you know, I never do, you know, chicken and then chicken right afterwards. It's just, yeah, it doesn't seem like it would make sense to catch another cat.
Of course. Why would it make sense?
Wait. You pick the food that you put in the bowl?
Yeah. You pick of those four things: chicken, bits, treats, and fish.
So, I mean, the only thing that this app or, I don't know, progression of events is missing is bacon. Because this is like feeding to one of the underlying knee-jerk things of the internet. Cats.
If I click the empty dish in my notification icon tray, that's what shows up. I got my choice there. I can put fish, bits, treat, or chicken. I click treat.
Bits of what?
And now, bits of cat food, I guess. And so now I've got a donut-looking thing up in my notification menu to let me know that there's a treat up there. And hopefully it'll be taken by a cat.
You hear that, Eric? Listen.
What is it?
Listen really carefully. That faint rushing sound is the sound of me judging you. I don't get it.
The thing is, this is my kind of gameplay. It takes zero time.
Slack division.
It's slightly rewarding. It's not too much of a challenge. I did get a little miffed, though. I went almost a week without getting a new cat, and these bits just sat there. So I pulled the bits out of the
tray.
They
got stale. Huh? You got to throw them out.
I threw them out. I put a piece of fish in there, and within hours, I had another cat. So that was a great achievement, I felt.
So what are the steps here? I want to.
Well, you have to have.
They're not just laid out.
Yes.
I just want to see what all the steps are.
You have to go into developer. You have to go tap. I think it's kernel version or whatever, like 8 times. Then you get the N screen. Then you got to tap that like what, 50 times?
You got to like hold it for a while. You get a long press on it at some point.
Who figured?
Repeatedly tap in. There's no doubt in my mind. Press and hold it.
Nobody figured this out. It had to be like a purposeful leak.
There's a leak.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, yeah. You're right. Totally. Totally right, Tor. This was not something somebody could have come up with. Just, oh, I wonder if I hold this down for a few seconds. What would happen then? Oh, well, that happened. No. I don't know. Maybe. Some people have more time on their hands than I do. Anyway, Pocket Link's got a great step-by-step on how to get this if you have Android N installed.
Yeah, I think the problem I'm having is I don't like cats in real life on the internet.
I don't like them at all.
I'll say this to me is another example in the deck of cards of why I'm okay not being a voluntary beta tester. Even I say that even though this next Nexus that might come out might woo me to where I buy it. But right now, I don't want to catch cats on my phone.
All right, let me read our last email. and get off of this cat discussion. It's a long one from our friend Todd Evans. It says, "Hey guys, it's been a while since I checked in with a new app, so I made a point to take a few minutes out of the day to send you one. I recently came across a new music player called Music Cube. I figured Eric may be interested, even though he seems locked into Google Play Music experience. If he just checks it out, he may be impressed with the UI at least. I've only had it on my phone for a day, but I'm really liking what I see. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems a lot of new Android music players have a decidedly cloned look, almost a reskin to Play Music. Shuttle would be one example. Music Cube has a very clean UI with nice 3D animations. My experience began when I opened the app to a list view of all my songs. The top of the screen display looked to be a tab-style view. I swiped to the left and my albums were displayed. Continuing to swipe, I saw playlists, artists, genres, and file views. Back to the Songs tab, there's a search bar to look for the title, album, artist, etc. However, when swiping any of the other previously mentioned screens, there was no search box available. It'd be nice to have a persistent search box. In this same Songs tab view, there was a little in the way of a long press or swipe functions. A long press on a song displayed an option that listed option list that included play next, edit, go to artist, as ringtone, add to queue, add to playlist, and go to album. The only other alternate menu I could find in the Songs tab was a hamburger menu that provided the sorting options for the song. In the albums tab view, it apparently... Sorry, guys, I'm off my game. In the Albums View tab, it appears the only function available is a long press of the album art, which makes you takes you to a track listing of the particular album. On that track listing page, there are more options for adding to playlists, adding to the queue, or play all. The Playlists tab itself was self-explanatory, with two empty playlists already established for you to fill in, one being named Driving, which I think is a good choice for starters because everyone has driving songs, well, except maybe Door. The Artist tab was a little more interesting. A long press on the artist name opens a bio page with the option to play all or a particular album along with, depending on the artist, an extensive bio. Some had some that had shorter info included a link to read more on Last.fm. In the Genres tab also provided long pressing success. A long press on a genre opened a window displaying all your songs in that particular genre. At the bottom, there were buttons to play all or add to your queue. A nice feature of this particular window is that you could swipe within this window to display artists and albums within the genre. In the last tab, Files provided some interesting long pressing. You start off with a scrolling list of artist folders. Long pressing the artist takes you to a folder listing of albums, which when long pressed takes you to a track listing. Long pressing the individual track brought up the options for play, edit, add to, etc. I thought this was very well done and would like to see this ability to dig deeper in other screens. The lower fifth of the display in each of the tab screens has a player view at the bottom with three option buttons displayed above it. The options are access to EQ settings, player settings, and the about info for the app and the developer, which includes a link to purchase the pro version, along with links, contact links for support. If I had my druthers, I would make these three items available in a hamburger menu, freeing up some valuable screen real estate. Not a huge deal, however. I have to say that I was rather disappointed with the small player display in the bottom of the screen. The only functions I could find available are play and pause. There's no ability to skip tracks or to scroll forward or backward within a track. Also, no long press actions available in the player, like to add a playlist, edit the track, etc. Hoping the developer is planning more functions there. That being said, you can swipe up on the player to view a full screen player, which provides the lacking functions I just mentioned, along with all the other necessary options that you would require to edit a particular track. Overall, I'm impressed with this little player, more so than I have been with most that I've come across. It admittedly has a bit of an iOS look to it, but it has a really good-looking, smooth app. I would recommend checking out the free version if you're so inclined. Support the developer with a $1.99 Pro version. I hope this wasn't too long-winded. While it wasn't exhaustive, I think I covered most of the big-ticket items. I know I enjoy hearing details of the new apps that other listeners are really digging, so I'm just reciprocating. And before I forget, a nudge to my fellow addicts to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and pitch in. If you get something out of listening to the show, give something back for their hard work and producing it for us. Also, be sure to use the super easy prodnuts.com/Amazon link to painlessly throw some coin their way without it costing you anything extra. Thanks for the show, guys. Battery 68%, Todd Evans.
That was a very good description of this app, Todd. You covered it way better than I would have. I would have to say, right after getting this email, I installed the app. I agree, it's really cool looking, and it is a nice, refreshing change from all the other music players. My only problem is I'm so into the Google Play Music that I don't keep local content on my device rather than other than podcasts that I've downloaded to listen to offline, because I've got the data thing with Project Fi. So podcasts I do download offline. It won't take my Google Play music that I've downloaded offline, because that's, I think it's all DRM'd into the Google Play player. But no, this is a really cool, nice looking app. It's a refreshing change. I do enjoy, you know, swiping through. It's almost like a launcher, like a different kind of launcher you would install on your phone, but only for apps. It's got nice big album art, you know, of your favorite podcasts, right, Mark? And
that's one of my favorites.
But the transitions are just nice from one to the next screen. It's not obvious, like his last thing he mentioned about the small player at the bottom, where it is just pause. All the other players, you just click that usually, and then it expands. But this one, you actually have to swipe up. So that kind of took me by surprise, and I wasn't really doing it. You know, I was listening to him, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess you can't really do much there. But then if you swipe up, it does open to the full size. So if anybody keeps local content on their device, I would recommend definitely checking out.
Okay, well, I'll say A, there is such a thing as driving music for door, but B, I might get too aggressive when I listen to it. I'll just say that. I'm maybe easily influenced by most music. I think I figured out one of my flaws. I am so, I think, OCD about stuff. Like my side launcher of choice is still Smart Taskbar. And that's because when I launch my sidebar, I have access to every single application on my phone. I don't like these side launchers where you pick your favorite apps and just have that. Well, the same methodology applies. If I can only play locally sourced audio, I have 29 days worth of audio that I had for years. I would have to be able to put all 29 days worth of audio on my mobile device, or else I'm putting no audio on my mobile device. Because if I can't have it all, I don't want any of it. I do use Google Play Music, but only when I'm out of podcast and there's nothing on YouTube I want to listen to. Like I was listening to a lot of Crash Course, World History Crash Course, Philosophy Crash Course, Literature. Thought they were kind of fascinating. You know, learn a little bit something. But music is just something that I'm becoming less and less involved with as my age goes up.
Mine goes in waves. I'll go through a week where I really want to listen to music, and you know, it's not an everyday thing.
Right. And I'll say Todd is right, and I think you're right too. This is a good looking app. I just don't have any local audio to play.
All right. So I think that's a good place to stop. I mean, we got the plug in there for both Android, podnuts.com/Amazon and patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. So we're good there. We have, let's see if I can do a recap of the apps as people like me to do. Tides Near Me, free by Randy Meach. Oddworld Munch's Odyssey, 99 cent, rated T for teen. Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, 99 cents, rated everyone 10 plus. Prisma by Prisma Labs, Inc., free to install. Server Status for Pokemon Go by Bit Inception, free to install. Rolling Sky Clean by Clean Masters Games, free to install. And Dokuro, rated everyone 10 plus, 99 cents. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 apps to, seven apps tonight, and some emails and lots of discussions about beaches. I think it's a good show. I think we can call it there. So Eric, I'm going to give you one last chance to lay some wisdom on us. What are your final words of wisdom for the evening?
You know, though we try to push the envelope all the time, it's still just stationary.
Oh, wow.
Deep, okay. Deep, brother.
Dora, what about you? What is your parting thought? What do you want to leave us with?
Bruce Lee always said, be like water.
Okay.
That's it. And I'll say, don't forget, people, send us a voicemail, 7076-PODNUT. Don't forget, if you want to win a free cardboard VR, better cardboard VR, send us an email, aaa@podnuts.com. Just put in giveaway or cardboard in the title. We'll see it. I want to thank everyone for their support. Everyone who does, go to Patreon and support us. Trust me, it is greatly, greatly appreciated. I always try to fulfill my end of the bargain each and every week, which is to post all my picks in my queue before the show, and then immediately after the show, post at least a semi-edited video immediately after the show, and less than an hour and a half after the show or so, post the full production quality audio on that Patreon as well, so you get early access to everything.
And while we're leaving with famous quotes, I will quote Henry Ford, who said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. We'll see you next week, because that's it for this week's episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.